Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Some beautiful music. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Welcome to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning. Let me introduce everybody who's on the group. Rosemary Armeo is here. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
How are you?
Okay. Go on. The other people are more interesting.
That's not true. director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. And always good to have you here. Teresa Bourgeois is with us. And the music we just heard was your mom playing the xylophone.
Indeed. That was the sweetest thing you just did. That's Monica Amiot Bourgeois, my mother. And she played the xylophone professionally in this area. And I found she passed away in 2010. But I rediscovered two 7-8 albums that she had made.
Wow.
And got them digitized. And you kindly played them today. This week is her 95th birthday.
Well,
would have
that
been,
is
so.
Very sweet. Well, thank you for sharing. It's beautiful. Really,
it's
very,
beautiful.
Very cool.
Yeah,
beautiful music. Cool.
Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, and she had a radio connection in this
yep,
area?
Yep, she had a radio program in the 1950s on WFLY, and she also worked as the assistant to the news director at WRGB in the 50s as well.
Your mom, Fly 92 FM.
Yes, she was on Fly. She was on WFLY. It was a little bit different then, but she had a Saturday evening program, and yes, she loved radio, so...
So well, you're just following in your mother's footsteps.
Indeed, indeed,
yeah.
I am. She paved the way for me.
Excellent. Well, welcome. It's so wonderful to have you here, as always.
Thank you.
Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan. How are you doing?
I'm almost doing well.
I'm
almost doing well. I just almost knocked the coffee over. That would have been bad. Okay, so, Joe, we're very, very close to making this extra $133,000.33, which will bring us to a third of what would happen if... the money got taken away, or if we needed it for some other, emergency relating to the First Amendment. There were several articles in the papers that I follow that say that there are some Republicans in the House and the Senate who are resisting the idea of privatizing public broadcasting. But on the other hand, the Breitbart people and their top strategist for Mr. Trump, that's another whole story, I believe. So we'll have to see what happens. In any case, it can't hurt. It would be great to have that money in the bank.
So we're looking, we had a goal of $633,000. We are now, because of your love and generosity, at $615,000.
Actually, $617,000, I just heard.
Okay, $617,000.
Yeah.
$157,000. So that means, ladies and gentlemen,
do it this morning.
Well, I think we can do it by the end of our break here.
We could.
So that means we
need about 20,000. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a little less. I thought this was the update. So let me. I had a total, but if this isn't correct, then I don't. Then
well,
it's not correct.
I'm pretty sure that's what I was told when I came in.
But that's okay. Any way you look at it, so I'm going to go with your number because it's higher.
Yeah. well, you should.
And that's so $15,900. So we would need. Now Alan's a master at this. We would need 159 people.
Right.
159 people in the next hour and 15 minutes to come forward, and we'd have it by the end of the roundtable panel.
And there are thousands and thousands of people who are listening right now, Joe.
So yes, absolutely.
It could and should be done because I think everybody has a sense that they want to go somewhere that will make a difference. And almost everybody knows that WAMC will make a difference.
Now, why does it matter to do it now rather than later? Because we have a $10,000 challenge.
We do from the Janey Fund. Thank goodness for them. That's very interesting. You watch TV now, and instead of people saying, when somebody gets a big check at the front door, they always say, thank goodness. They don't say, thank God. Because I think that's the way they're instructed.
I think Trump is changing.
Why don't we just say, thanks, listeners?
What'd you say?
We could just say, thanks, listeners.
No, I know. But no, I'm saying, thank goodness.
He said hell to a preacher. I think we're okay.
Could you believe?
I know. We're getting off. We have to.
Okay, go. We have to hold it.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Hold it.
Well said, Brooklyn. I'm done.
I thought you were in the middle of...
No, I'm done. So,
you said hold off. I thought you were going to continue.
Goodness, thank goodness we have the audience we have and that they've come to the right place and that they respect what happens and that we get letters from conservatives and we read them and we get letters from liberals and we read them. And we have Rich Honan. We have Herb London. It's balanced. It'll never be balanced enough for some people, but it's balanced.
Well, we would love for you to help out. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. And I'm serious. I think we can do this. So that, what did I just say?
Did I?
150 people.
Yeah,
150. Buy a t-shirt.
150
hey,
people.
It's Friday.
Yeah, and if you get a, and it's even less if you get both the First Amendment package with the mug and the T-shirt, $150. Rosemary just did it. I have her check right here. Boom, 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 boom. So it's official. That's why it sounds like that.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So please, please, please help us out. I just think it would be fun if we could do it by the end of our roundtable time together. We're going to take a break. We're going to give you a moment. We're going to give you a moment to go to your computer and make your pledge. And then when we come back, we'll start talking and talk about the news of the day. We'll be right back.
Please do it. Please do it.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan and Rosemary and Teresa. I'm Joe. Hopefully you are helping out the lockbox as we speak. WAMC.org. President Trump, after promising a radical break with the foreign policy of Barack Obama, is embracing some key pillars of the former administration's strategy, including warning Israel to curb settlement construction, demanding that Russia withdraw from Crimea, and threatening Iran with sanctions for ballistic missile tests. In the most startling shift, the White House issued an unexpected statement appealing to the Israeli government not to expand the construction of Jewish settlements beyond their current borders in East Jerusalem and the West Bank. Such expansion, it said, may not be helpful in achieving the goal of peace. So the obvious question is, what happened?
What's going on?
And we don't know, right?
I'm flummoxed by it.
Well, I think there may be a greater philosophy that's involved in all of this, and that is Trump throws a bomb. He hires these people for the various jobs, and he says, you know, these are my people. I'm going to let them make the decisions. But I think that greater wisdom has prevailed in that if you do allow all of these new West Bank settlements to occur, that they will be incendiary, and that you're never going to get to where you want to go, which is some kind of peace accord. But frankly, I have my doubts about that ever happening anyway.
One of the things that might be happening is that they're getting some professionals in the mix. So you have, you know, General Mattis and others, and Rex Tillerson.
Professionals?
Professionals.
They're not professional diplomats. They've been on the job one day.
But they know the world. But they are beginning. But I think that... you can't lose sight, even with these unusual changes of the range of things that he's done in the last week diplomatically, globally, that are so terribly dangerous. I mean, I just put together a quick list, what he did with Australia. And if anybody, if you haven't read it yet, look at John McCain's response. It was important and brilliantly crafted. What he's done in Mexico, what he's done in Iran, empty threats in Iraq, threatened to take the oil.
I would stop right at Iran because the other things are, you know, look, Australia is our friend. They're going to be our friend. There really aren't that many choices. But I do think that Iran is the dangerous one and North Korea are the dangerous ones because in both cases he has gone out of his way to provoke them.
Well, I think he's provoked in Australia, he's provoked in Mexico, he's provoking in Europe. The apparent attempt to destabilize NATO, you know, the back and forth
sure.
on where he is on NATO.
But you don't think for a second, Teresa, do you, that the Australians are going to lob one our way? The Iranian...
No. But it just
the Iranians,
causes...
me.
Right.
And but the North Koreans, me.
He's alienating everyone, though, is her point. She's right that when the European Parliament, the president of the parliament, announces that Trump is a threat to Europe,
right.
The president of the United States is a threat to Western Europe?
Right.
What's going on?
In the Australians, you know, the Europeans, they're who we turn to and work with to try to stabilize other, you know, the Middle East situation and such.
Yeah.
And so that's... to create that. I mean, I listened, I just had on in the background the British Parliament discussion, and thinking about that they have to talk about the United States in the way that they are, the internal fights that are going on there now and taking sides on this immigration ban.
But none of this.
It's so disruptive.
None of this, Teresa, explains why he did the turnaround on the settlements, considering the pattern that we've seen in his eventful 2 weeks in office.
Right.
You would have expected him to say, yeah, go build more. We'll send contractors over.
Or maybe it's as simple as you know that there are two factions in the White House. There's the Bannon-Conway faction, and then there's the Priebus, Pence faction, and maybe the Pence-Priebus faction won on this one. Who knows? It's just, but the level of global disruption that's being, caused is quite scary.
I mean, that the article in the New York Times that was in yesterday's late edition this morning is saying, for Europe, there's a new threat in town, and it's the United States of America.
Right.
And this going, basically talking about the combative tone of the European Union, of course, is meeting today. And they are accustomed to crisis, but as they meet in Malta, 28 leaders, the top item on the agenda is, what about the United States?
Yeah.
What do you think their options are? What do you think the European Union options are? And you know that many of those places, Germany and France, are facing internal elections of their own, which could cause an awful lot of chaos and could, in fact, mimic the Brexit
with Breitbart paper openly saying we're going to open up there and see if we can disrupt.
Here's what's going to happen. We're reverting back to pre-World War II. Each of these countries are going to build up their defenses again, which would be good for them because they need to get jobs and they need to tell their own citizens. France is under, there's another terrorist attack there. So that will play well to their local audiences. And we will go back to the days when we didn't work together, we worked separately. And Trump will claim credit for this. He'll say, see how our defense bill has gone down. This is great. And it isn't great.
But the question is, who do they listen to when they wonder where the United States is? Do they listen to Senators McCain and Graham and the Senator Schumer and the other leaders in the House and Senate?
Wouldn't you be wary if you were?
Or do they listen to Donald Trump? What side does Rex Tillerson take when he travels around the world? What does General Mattis say? That's the challenge here, is because there's such a lack of clarity about the U.S. position in terms of our alliances.
Could that be a Teresa? Could that be a philosophy, a way of doing business that Trump wants? He wants to confuse them. Isn't that a possibility?
I think it's even bigger than that. I think this whole mess that we're in now began with former Speaker Boehner, who invited Netanyahu to come and address Congress without checking with the White House. It was a move by the legislative branch to take over executive powers. Foreign policy had always been mostly in the hands of the executive, and they pulled it over. Then they had, 40 senators who signed a letter in Senate to Iran saying, hey, we don't really like this deal you're working on with our president. That was really great. That's the sort of confusion that we're talking about now. Trump is playing into it, but I think his idea is to get all the power back into the executive.
Well, I don't think that let's put it this way. Donald Trump, President Trump, gives no evidence of an understanding of a global, of global awareness, a deep understanding of the interactions around the globe. Certainly, Bannon has spoken and written extensively about his global agenda and global view. And certainly, Pence and Gingrich and the people that Trump surrounds himself with have stated their global view. And so, the question is who will prevail or what kind of influence people like Senators McCain and Graham will have. And again, where do people like General Mattis and Rex Tillerson come down on this?
Isn't it extraordinary that McCain picks up a telephone, calls the leader, the Australian leader, and
we didn't call the president.
The ambassador, U.S. ambassador.
Oh, I'm sorry.
U.S. ambassador.
I stand corrected. It calls the ambassador. It's hard to believe that a United States senator would do that without some kind of connection to the Trump Organization, isn't it?
Didn't, though.
No.
And what do you mean he didn't?
He didn't. I mean, there's no evidence that that he did. That
there's
he
no evidence. Come on, Rosemary. There's no evidence either way. Okay. We don't know that.
After the election, he went to the Baltics to try to calm the fears there, I think, because he's so worried about the global...
The article in the Times, according to the New York Times reporting, this job of cleanup that is being done by many senators and House members does seem to be attempts on their own to try to
calm things down
and try to shore up relationships that have been broken by these extraordinary phone calls that are taking place.
Well, doesn't seem to be. I mean, my point with my little argument with Rosemary just now is that there are all kinds of things that go on. If you're playing cleanup, the manager is telling you to bat forth. I don't know.
Do you think the vice president's calling? The other thing that's fascinating to me is...
I just want to say I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The other thing that's fascinating to me is how the Trump and his folks who... Now, remember, Donald Trump denigrated President Obama for years and then in this election. Yet they keep trying to wrap themselves in some of his policies around Yemen when it got wrong. Well, that was what President Obama wanted on the immigration ban, you know, over and over.
When
it's convenient and incorrectly. I mean, they're stating his policies incorrectly, yet they still feel the compunction to wrap themselves in his policies wrongly stated.
We'll talk more about that. Don't forget the lockbox. We need your help.
Boy, do we ever.
We'll give you a total as soon as we come back, but we need 150 of you right now. WMC.org. Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. You know, we started off, I think it said 6:15, 1:57, and we're just approaching 6:20 now.
So 13,000 more?
That's right.
Boy, we can do that. We could do that right now between now and 10:30.
Yeah, 33 is my lucky number. Let's get to it.
All right, that's 6:33. Is it really your lucky number?
Yeah.
How did that become your lucky
number? I have no idea. It just is.
What number, 13?
33.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, well,
I have no idea how this is.
Okay, so we need $13,000. So we need 130 of you, and
or you need one person.
That's right.
But 130 is a safer way to go.
Look, whatever you can do right now. We did.
Or 260.
The last 3 days we've just had
amazing days,
like 30,000-40,000. But I'm just saying that to get the $10,000 guaranteed from the Janie Fund. To get the money that's going to go into the First Amendment Fund,
right,
and going to save this radio station in case anything happens, we need to do that, and let's just do it now.
Well put.
Because people are listening, because people are active, because people are with their computers, we make a lot of this money during this time of the day, during the roundtable. That's what we know. That's when people are listening.
This is the most listened to time of the day.
So
right now.
So show your power. Do what you can do. WAMC.org.
WAMC.org.
I just went out in the front office, and the phones are going nuts. A lot of people on the computer. That's great. So just keep up that pace, and in the next hour, hopefully, we'll proudly be able to tell you that we've made it.
Thank you for listening.
But if we don't, then we're going to be, you know, like crushed.
Sad.
Yeah.
So. That would be.
And
awful.
We don't want Joe to be sad.
He'll be crushed. Oh, Alan will cry.
Yeah, no, Alan's a crybaby.
Yeah. All right. So
I'm going to just be calling you all next week since we're not on the show. There's no other place to vent about all this stuff.
Yeah, sure.
I know Trump will do something really crazy, like on Sunday night, and there'll be no outlet.
Well,
so
let me put it this way: we have been known to mention those things on the Fun Tribe.
Yeah,
if you know.
Have you
what
listened
I mean.
To Alan in the morning? He'll go off for 12 minutes and talk about.
Well, we'll see on Monday whether or not the education secretary is.
Oh, you know, you guys should stay by your phones because you know if we need you, we'll find you.
Yeah, we'll find you.
Come on. And say, Rosemary, yeah. What are you waking me up
well,
for?
Well, the listeners, when they call in with their pledge, they can share their
and
views.
They do all the time.
Yeah, they certainly do.
I've answered the phones, and it's wonderful, the things that they say.
WAMC.org, make it happen, let's go. Okay, Alan, you have a stack of letters in front of you, so why don't you start with those?
We've heard from a lot of people, by the way, who make it clear they cannot afford to be without this program. And therefore, they say in many letters now, look, let's get this thing over as fast as we can so we can go back to this panel, which we really do need. We only need one thing more. We need the money to get through the year. And this is, we only come to you three times, and this is it.
So, at the risk of expanding this even further, but I just want to, because I do want to get back to the show. However, I also want to clarify the fact that right now the 633 and the 10,000 from the Ginny Fund, the 633, that gives us $133,000 to put in the lockbox. And then whatever we make over the weekend is great. That all goes toward the fund drive.
Yeah, the 133, not only the lockbox, but the First Amendment fund.
Into the First Amendment fund. But when we start on Monday morning, it'll be probably under, especially if we make the goal, the challenge will be like 480, 490, right?
Absolutely. That 10,000
comes
right
entire off, fund drive.
That
right.
comes right off the top of the fund.
That's
of,
all
of
I wanted to say.
Drive. Yeah. And you said it well, Joe. Thank you.
All right. Go to it.
Good morning, says Thea. I love the name Thea, don't you?
Yes.
Good morning, panel. Would you please allow me to understand why your topics are mainly focused on the current status of immigrants and deportees of Middle Eastern countries, and there is never, and never is spelled with a capital N-E-V-E-R, a word mentioned about Standing Rock. Is it merely due to their peaceful protests and they do not threaten the lives of others? I don't hear anything on the news from this station. Well, folks, Thea, thanks for the letter. We've been talking about other stuff lately, but we've talked a great deal about Standing Rock.
And about the effort to pass laws that would prohibit protesting and make it sort of okay to run over somebody with your car if they're blocking a roadway.
We had two stories regarding this yesterday, the Dakota Access Pipeline and the WAMC and the WAMC website, as well as NPR. We had three stories earlier in the week. We had, I believe, in looking at...
It was on the news.
And
yeah, she's talking about this program, though.
No, I don't think so. I think she did. Well, she say entirely in WAMC?
Why your topics are mainly focused, and then
and
she
it's
says,
addressed to
and
the
there's
panel.
Never a word, at least, and there's never a word Standing Rock. But we have. You're reading all of that stuff, and it's correct. We do pay a lot of attention to this. We've paid a lot of attention in the past on this program.
And of course, we talked about it extensively
And you know what? There's also a common theme in all of those stories, which is
Trump.
The trouncing on people's rights and not understanding people's heritage and what we are as a country.
Okay. So
in
said,
fact,
we've said.
And you know what? She does another point, too, which is, boy, I love the news. I consume it, and it's wearing me down. There is an avalanche of information coming down. And a lot of it is along the same theme, but there's a lot to absorb. So it's a good point. Thank you for
writing.
What's the good point?
That
Standing
Rock's
an important...
You didn't mention that.
On the other hand, we do a great job here. We really do. And, you know, Thea...
But we concur that
name.
It's an interesting... Standing Rock's an interesting and important issue. We concur with her on that part of it.
Okay, Barbara says, what is the point of having a Senate or Congress? Many years and thousands of hours drafting and fighting for bills and amendments to only have a new administration repeal them within weeks of taking office. Roe versus Wade, sanctions against Russia, Affordable Care Act, climate protection policies, the Johnson Amendment to name a few. What's next?
NPR I'm sorry, I just wanted to say this because NPR did a great job on this, which was covering the measure that would protect streams in coal country. It took 12 years, endless, you know, revisions, public hearings. People worked really hard in the Virginias to pass this law or to get it ready to be passed. It's finally passed, and now there's a rule where you can pull back a rule within 60 days of passing it. And that's what Trump has used. And NPR talked to these people who have, you know, they're just ordinary people. They're not wonks. They didn't love doing this. They thought it was important. And now 12 years of work for nothing.
Well, until the Democrats come back into office, and then the people who support Trump and the Republicans will say, that's not fair that we did all these things and you're taking it back. But there is a big issue as to whether or not presidents should be allowed to make these kinds of decisions on their own without the Congress. Right now, we're thinking, no, that's a very bad idea.
I just make one small correction here? The law is written that if this is taken, if the action that Trump is forcing now to have Congress get rid of that rule, it may never come back. That's what's written.
Well, of course. But they know, because they know full well
what
will come back.
Well, the incoming Supreme Court justice is a strict constitutionalist, so we shall see how strict he is and if these.
How is he on the emoluments clause? That was my question.
Well, we shall see how strict a constitutionalist he truly is.
Since 11/18, says Christian of Hillsdale, I've been sleep deprived. Me too. Fear I am developing.
11/8, right? 11-8.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I got the slash.
That's all right.
Got me a little confused.
Since
here.
November.
Yes.
Yeah.
Election day.
Election day.
Here I am developing ulcers and high blood pressure. I also experience frequent headaches. Do you think this gives me enough to start a class action lawsuit against the current administration?
Hey, I'm in.
I'm in.
It's commonly known as a Trump slump.
Maybe I should consult Mr. Hoonan before we have tort reform. Yeah. Okay.
That's nice.
We need a little humor. Thank you for that.
Good morning, Roundtable producers and panel. John Faso, we got a lot of these. Co-sponsored H.R. 38, which allows the concealed carry of handguns in school zones and on publicly accessible federal lands, and voted yay on H.J.R. 41, making it easier for the mentally ill to purchase weapons. While Second Amendment rights are very important to many in his district, this seems to go beyond reason. I'd love to hear discussion on this. Thank you.
I'd love to hear what a majority of his constituents think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, it's one thing to say I'm for Second Amendment rights, right? But it's another thing to say, should people be carrying guns in schools? Because you know that somebody's going to get angry and take a gun out. Right? Won't that happen?
It doesn't seem like a good plan.
Well,
and then what's the other rule, that now you can be on Social Security disability and not have the mental capability to take care of your own program, but you still have the right to buy a gun, thanks to another executive
last action. Night that was, yep. Well, that was the Congress. Yep. Passed that last night. Yep. Yeah.
That is. We couldn't talk about that, but that is frightening.
It is frightening.
I mean, unbelievably.
Can't imagine there's a lot.
Not
of
to mention
like
that you can be on a terror watch list
and buy a gun.
You can't get on a plane, but you can buy a gun.
Excuse me for interrupting. However, we need 100 people. We're $10,000 away.
Oh boy.
$10,000 away.
Oh boy.
And that's making the goal in 45 minutes.
Oh boy.
In 45 minutes. So,
as Joe says, in 45 minutes.
It's 40 minutes, but between friends.
In 40 minutes.
In 40 minutes. So we started off this morning at 6:15. We're now almost at 6:30, or at 6:20, at 6:23. Yeah, so we're $10,000 away.
Wow.
Let's
move. Okay.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org. We're going to take a pause.
Okay,
we're
going
to give you time to go. We're going to go go to the lockbox, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. You can also call us, 1-800-323-9262. Just press zero, and the front office will be very nice to you, even though they're going crazy out there. And we'll be right back and keep you updated as time goes on. We'll be right back.
Whoosh.
98 people. 98 people is what it needs. That's what we're going to do. Wait, we're in full. Hey,
you're in fun drive. You are.
Well, consider this practice, right? Consider it practice for Monday morning.
Well, look, there's no question. You can't run the radio station without money. It's that simple. You just can't.
And we got a $10,000 challenge on the table, and
Janie Fund.
I think I'm speaking for the whole crew, but certainly for Alan and I, look, you know, it would be nice to do this. We have a little sense of pride that we could do this in our time this morning before 45 minutes. Wouldn't that be nice? Okay. So we'll let you listen and go on board, but I just want to let you know that we have 45 minutes and we need you. Right now, we need 98 people. So
we're fired up.
Yeah,
ready
we are fired up. You get the T-shirt, $100, the mug for $100. You can get both for $150. They say the First Amendment, the T-shirt is beautiful. It has the full First Amendment on it. It is gorgeous. The First Amendment mug also says now more than ever, which is really the mantra of the entire drive. We need you. Whatever you can do, WAMC.org. Alan has even more letters because I'm handing him a huge stack.
Boy,
look at
boy,
that.
Oh, boy.
Let me say that somebody should have had those First Amendment T-shirts on during the yesterday's prayer breakfast. So, onward.
Yeah. Well, there's an interesting question as to this legislation or this order.
The Johnson. Do you want to talk about that real quick?
Okay. Explain what it is.
Okay.
Johnson.
This is the
Johnson Amendment.
This is the Johnson Amendment. Yes. And
Lyndon Johnson.
President Lyndon Johnson's been around for a long time. All of this and I just am bringing this up. Okay. So he vows to, and the word he used was destroy. He vowed on Thursday to overturn a law restricting political speech by tax-exempt churches, a potentially huge victory for the religious right. They've been looking for this for a long time. A gesture to evangelicals, a voting bloc he attracted to his campaign by promising to free up their pulpits Mr. Trump said his administration would totally destroy the Johnson Amendment, a 1954 law that prohibits churches from endorsing or opposing political candidates at the risk of losing their tax-exempt status. Alan, the point you were about to make was?
Well, I don't have much to say about this except something that is going to be extremely unpopular, and I apologize for giving you all angst. But there is something to be said for the First Amendment for everybody, and that includes churches. I hate it when the IRS or the CPB or anybody else says to us, you can't say this, you can't say that. I hate it because I just hate it. And I think there is a First Amendment that means something. And I am not troubled by the idea that churches, if they wanted to, and if their boards of trustees say so, could endorse. Now, I just want to say something. We do not endorse anybody on this radio station. That would take an act of, you know, of the people who are here getting together and say, we're going to do our official endorsement like the Berkshire Eagle does or the Times Union does. We don't do that. Nevertheless, I am not as troubled by this as a lot of other people are.
I have to say that I could go either way on it. Yeah. I see Alan's point very clearly. The hitch, of course, is that if they have a tax exemption, so you're letting organizations that get a big break from the government take sides. On the other hand, let them do it, because you know the reaction. If you take a side, you're alienating some of the people in your parish. They don't want to hear that stuff.
Don't tell me those constituents in that church, you know, wherever it is, don't understand where that church is. They do.
Yeah, I mean, they're already taking political stands. We know where they stand now. They're standing with Trump. So I don't think this is quite. Also, there's no point arguing it. If he gets it through, it will pass through the Supreme Court right now. They're totally on the side, and Gorsuch is another one who believes in religious freedom.
Yeah, not to tweak you.
For corporations.
Not to tweak you too hard after the discussion we had the other day, but it'll go through a lot easier, go down a lot easier if Gorsuch is another judge.
Absolutely, that's true.
No, you just said that.
No.
But you also
it is
said
true.
The other day.
I said the other day, let
the ninth judge come on.
But I don't believe anything that I think. Any resistance I put up is going to stop it. I think the Republicans are going to put Gorsuch on. That's where we disagree.
They sure are.
Well, just as background, and this I'm getting from the New York Times it is one of the quote brightest lines in the legal separation between religion and politics.
Sure.
And it in fact was passed by a Republican Congress.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
And it was signed by Dwight Eisenhower. It was introduced by Johnson when he was in the Congress, not when he was president.
And Dwight Eisenhower would look a lot better. Would be a lot better from my perspective. I love Ike, and if you were here right now.
Right. This isn't the same Republican Party as Ike's time. That's right. One thing.
But this was a Republican initiative to
well, so
keep
is Obamacare.
Right.
Yesterday, I was reading articles written during the campaign season, and I looked at NPR's, and there's Zoe, I don't know if that's Zoe or Zoe, Chance, who spent a lot of time with Trump supporters in the Middle West. And the thing that impressed me, which I had forgotten, was how much people who are Trump supporters in those places at that time were looking forward to the angst we are expressing now. They won't be fun. They frequently brought that up. It will be fun and good
to
watch
liberals,
just gnashing their teeth and twisting their hands in worry. That's exactly the show they're getting. So to me, that helped explain some of the support that Trump is getting, even as he attacks these very, you know, long established, well agreed upon norms. He goes after them, and that's just what they wanted. Someone who's going to throw a wrench right in the system.
By the way, I want to get back to letters, but real quick, we're $6,500 to go.
Whoa.
Wow, 65 people.
So this is what Alan refers to as the whoosh. Mm-hmm. So, but we need you. You can't have a full flush. Unless you get all the money, right?
The flush.
Aren't you worried that the metaphor suggests flushing money down the toilet? That's not what giving money.
No, not at all. No, Alan has.
We know what the flush is.
Yeah, we know what the whoosh.
We know what's in the flush.
That's a problematic metaphor.
Yeah. No.
Okay, here we go. Dear Rosemary, you sound like you've given up. Remember, we don't fight to win. We fight to fight. It's what life is all about.
Yeah, there is
never stop fighting for what is right. Never, never stop.
Yeah, there is an argument for fighting for resistance sake, and I'm there. I've got the pussy hat and everything. However, I would like our elected officials to play it a little smart, and I'm not seeing that. Pelosi and Schumer have not come up with any kind of scheme that really works. They're not clever in the way that McConnell was. Evil, but clever.
But he was also in the majority. Let's remember
he
that.
He had different, right. Yes, he did. Okay. He had different
but
advantages.
I do think the public participation and public engagement is definitely making a difference, and I think it will continue to make a difference.
And it'll grow.
It will grow.
But we'll get a whoosh.
And I think... I do think that a key thing now is for people to reach out, people who are concerned about some Trump policies, to reach out to people who have been Trump supporters and engage in conversation, because in short order, those folks are going to understand that they are going to be hurt by a lot of these policies. Again, as I've said all along, the people at Trump's rallies are going to be hurt by his policies.
We've heard from listener Charlie. I don't usually give last names, yeah. But I'm going to Charlie Rose.
Yes.
In Worthington, Mass. Regarding Israel, isn't it as simple as the fact that he just met with the King of Jordan immediately following
exactly
our prayer
theory,
breakfast?
Right. Teresa's theory.
We know that it's a matter of whoever he talked to last. Well, I've known a lot of people like that, but what if that King of Jordan said, are you trying to kill me? Do you have any idea how many Palestinians are living in Jordan right now? Do you understand what this country would be like, what the United States would be like without Jordan as an ally? I have a feeling he may have made some sense. Yeah.
Right. So just King Abdullah of Jordan on the sidelines of the prayer breakfast yesterday met with President Trump.
David says, I just saw the MSNBC.
You're amazing. You just, I love that you
she's
have these
wonkish.
Things.
We yeah, love her love wonkishness.
Yeah. That was in the story.
It was
all
started. No, I know.
I mean, not that she isn't, but no, just to point that out.
But it brought it up. See, that's, yeah, you know, well, that's we all
true.
Had it, but she mentioned it.
Yeah, no, she's terrific.
By the way, we have $5,000 to go down. Go ahead.
$5,000. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Hubba. And we only have...
We have a half hour.
Well, we have a half an hour, 35 minutes to do this.
Okay,
yeah.
So
oh boy.
You Trump supporters out there who are listening, now's the time. Step up. Yeah.
Oh, David says, I just saw the MSNBC interview.
Listening?
I just saw the MSNBC interview with Chris Matthews and Kellyanne
Conway. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I know I shouldn't be, but I was floored by her Bowling Green massacre.
Made it up.
In quotes, which was, again, a set of alternative facts. Between this and her comments discrediting the right of the career State Department employees to disagree with policy and the president, just shows how big a dumpster fire this has become. Scary stuff. Thank you for all you do. You helped keep me sane.
A dumpster fire.
And oh, there's a great meme on
by
that.
By the way, how about all those people who say, you'll never read my comment because I'm a conservative? And we read them, and we read them, and we read them. Do you know what I'm asking here?
Yeah.
Have you put your money into
it? Right. Have you given
Because you listen every second, right?
You John, get something from the program.
Right, John?
John, Jay, yeah, all you people.
Yeah.
I want to hear from the Trump supporters. What do they think about Kellyanne Conway and not telling the truth, and does that matter?
May I just say, she has tweeted that it was just a simple mistake. She meant to say Bowling Green terrorists, because there were two terrorists who were arrested from there, not charged with a massacre or killing anybody, but with supporting terrorist attacks.
Okay. All right now.
And how does
simple she... Simple mistake. It's just the media going after her.
We're hearing a lot from a lot of people... A lot of people who were talking about the Johnson Amendment.
Right.
I only want to point one thing out. Amendment has one M in that beginning. Okay. So,
well, I would...
Thank you, Professor. Okay, I love that.
Especially on the radio.
I love that. Well...
Two things I'd like to say about the prayer breakfast. One is that Donald Trump swore... Right,
yes.
First
one of all the holy men.
Don't use a word you can't use on the radio.
No, I just said hell. He said, well, I mean, just, exactly. But he said hell.
At the prayer breakfast.
At the prayer breakfast.
I'm sorry.
And he was talking about, he was asking the preacher who, and he was said, you know, hopefully you have another term, and I don't know whether you're Republican or Democrat, but what the hell? Yeah. Okay, there was that.
Well, but also, but there was an implicit suggestion, perhaps, if you went against his viewpoint on the world, that you would be going right down to the fiery place.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Go back and read President Obama's 2015 or listen to his prayer breakfast speech. And in the context of the conversation yesterday on the Johnson Amendment.
A tapestry of religious ideologies coming together to set us free and bring us together as a humanity.
Yep, our founders, quote, also understood the need to uphold the freedom of speech, that there was a connection between freedom of speech and freedom of religion, for to infringe on one right under the pretext of protecting another is a betrayal of both.
$4,000 now, $4,000
to go. Hurry. Okay, hi, panel. Nice. Trump is using the same game plan as Putin. Keep everyone off balance so you pay more attention to the man behind the curtain. Let me just say, Mario Cuomo, one of the greatest things he ever said is, quote, reason with them, it makes them crazy.
I would just like to say that I have not forgotten. I want to see Donald Trump's tax returns.
Oh, yeah.
And I would like an investigation into what, if anything, the Russians did in, to interfere with our elections.
And I want to say
Steve
something.
Bannon needs to get off. I think of we the need to National keep a, Security Council.
Keep a close eye on Russia.
Yeah,
you know, it's top Russian cyber crimes agents were arrested
exactly.
and charged with treason.
Yep.
How did that happen? Russian critic Vladimir, I can't say his last name, sorry, Karamirza, suffers a sudden organ failure.
30 years old, organ failure.
He was attempted poison 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and now.
And now this. And then there's the report that Russia has sold off 19% of a state-owned energy company. To whom is unknown. It was done through offshores. It's all convoluted. Reporters can't find out. If you will recall in the dossier that we're not supposed to know about, but we do because of BuzzFeed.
The guy who wrote the dossier was killed, by the way, was murdered, correct?
I don't know about that. No, he went into hiding to avoid being killed, but he hasn't been killed.
Go ahead.
Unless he,
it's the, if you're talking the about reason. The Russian he worked with, that's the guy whose the bag was over his head. But it came from a British agent.
Oh no, that's true. But I thought
the Russian was, involved with him is the one you're talking
and
about.
He was
the
killed.
One who's missing, right? Yeah. So missing, we don't know if he's dead or alive.
You just jumped in the middle of this. The sale of this Russian company is important because in the dossier it says that the payoff to the Trump people would be a share. In the exact company that 19% is now sold off on. That's the exact percentage and the exact company. That's not proof, but it sure is like kind of a clue that somebody should be looking at.
I know I had something else to say, but I can't.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We need $3,500 to go. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to the panel discussion. And we have Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Teresa Bourgeois, and my dinging computer.
Hello.
There
hello.
We go.
Hello.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. We're getting very close now, right?
We are getting close. Here's the problem. It's not a problem. It's a great problem. The front office has been besieged. Everybody is on a phone. So the calls then trip into other phones. So pretty much everybody in the building is on a phone taking a pledge right now.
Thank you.
Which is great. So all of that has to be entered so we can get a total. So we'll get that for you. We still have work to do here. Obviously, we have, you know, still in the end, we have $500,000 still to raise. But, I mean, for the total fund drive, not for our goal. However, the money's coming in. We need your help. WAMC.org.
Before we go back to substance, I wonder if I could just... Rosemary asked me about this. I had said that we had at least two fund drives, which were essentially one-day fund drives.
Yes.
They weren't for $500,000, but they couldn't be stopped. The first day, and I always get teary when I tell this story, but the first day was when Mario decided at the last minute that he would come, and he had been holed up in the executive mansion where he lived, unlike certain other governors with the same name, and he lived there, and we had this terrific relationship all of those years. And then and Roselle kept saying he's going to come. He showed up. Everybody stood up. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. I'm telling you. He joked when he came in. Everybody applauded. And he said, who do you think I am, Alphonse D'Amato? And everybody just laughed and carried on. And then he sat down and we did a half an hour program. And that half an hour program, we then called his valedictorian time, and we said, does anybody want it? And there was no calls. And we said, I think at the time it was $50. And there was no calls. And then a single little phone at one end of the room rang. And then another phone at the other end of the room rang. Then every phone rang, and they rang for 7 hours. And after 7 hours, the fund drive was over. So can it be done? Yeah, it can. Then there was the time that George Pataki decided that he was going to just take the money away just from WAMC. And we went on, and all I said was, hey, You know, when the fascists came to town, the first thing they did was to take the radio station. When the communists came to town, the first thing they did was to take the radio station. If you want George Pataki to have your radio station, don't send us the money. One Day Fund Drive.
So look, we're having a great morning. We need your help. WAMC.org. We can and go ahead.
But the point of all of that is, if we have the will, considering what is going on in this country right now, to end the whole fund drive. I mean, the $500,000 that we're going to need starting Monday, $480,000 we need Monday. Could we do it right now? There are plenty of people. We could do it right now in the same way that Mario did it his day, that the George Pataki thing did it his day. It's unbelievable.
Well, journalism certainly is under assault in this country, and it is a nice response of the public to, you know, stand up and say that we disagree with that by supporting.
Can I have just 1 minute to talk about people who are not having a great day? And this is what journalists are supposed to do, speak for people who don't have their own voices. And those are people in maximum prison facilities in New York State. The governor now, as a cost-cutting measure, wants to limit the visitation to only the weekends. Right now, they get 7 days a week. It would limit it only to the weekends.
Measure.
Yeah, he says, well, you can use, you know, video conferencing, Skype, I guess. It's awful. It does not save that much money, and the visiting hours on weekends are so crowded. Families and children wait for hours and hours. Are going to wait hours more if this goes through. And I really do think it's just revenge because two prisoners escaped last summer and totally embarrassed this administration. And so paying for it are all the other prisoners in this state.
Families.
It is cruel and unusual. This is not about, yes, they did bad things and have to be punished, but you're punishing their children and their wives and their communities. So I just want people to be aware of it. It's not getting a lot of attention.
Well, yes, and you are quite right. I have a different take on it.
Okay.
You're right. It's cruel. It's unusual. But it isn't revenge for the other guys. It is that the pollsters, the Cuomo pollsters, go out there and they say, are we coddling our criminals? Should they have a television?
Yeah, but it's not about the criminals.
No, I know your point. My point is this. It is a political motivation that makes him do it. And it's a crazy, okay, dare I say it, stupid thing to do, because what it does is it builds up pressure, and that's when you get the Atticas and the other stuff.
Well, but it's the families, it's the kids, it's the sure. it's the right. it's the mothers, the fathers, the spouses, the partners. I mean, and they're not in the facilities. And if these people are still imprisoned, but they have visitation rights, and that right is in essentially being taken away, or at least certainly curtailed.
The only right that they have is what they are given, and you know, so it isn't that this is a constitutional right.
It's no, that's
just,
true.
It's just incredibly dumb to do this. Now,
it's very
short-sighted. You mentioned something that I just want to hit on for a second, and that is it's for the children and it's for the wives. I don't know about you folks.
Well, parents.
Yes, I don't know about you folks, but anybody who ever said something to my kid that was untoward, I know how useless it made me feel and how terrible. And here you are locked up in a prison, and now your wife and your kid or your kids are being basically made to cry.
May I point out one other thing?
But the last part of that, I'm sorry, Rosemary, but the last, because you started it, but the last but the last part of this is that kind of frustration builds up, and it ain't healthy for the prison system. That's
what I was going to say. We have plenty of guards who depend on their living in upstate New York from prisons. This is not good for them either because of just what he said. If you are not touched, think about it in your own life. You're not touched. You don't speak. You don't see in the flesh the people you care about the most. And you're a bad person to begin with, if you want to put it that way. This is not good for our prison system in any way. And it saves so little money. We're not talking, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars here. So I hope people, while you're demonstrating and sending letters on Trump, pay attention to home.
Read
this
about
is a bad
this.
Thing.
Learn about it, read about it, speak up about it. And it also assumes that people don't work on the weekends, so that you know, basically what they're saying is visitation will only be on the weekends, that you won't have visitation during the week anymore.
And one of the terrible things, of course, is that a lot of these prisoners come from New York City.
Exactly.
And the prisons are upstate industry. Let's face it, we know they are. This is a corrections industry in upstate New York. And every time you try to close one, there's a lot of problems, political problems that come to it. So now you got to get on that bus in New York City with your kids and come all the way upstate and
somehow get to Comstock in the middle of nowhere.
It's crazy because those prisons should be closer to New York.
Well, you also wonder, just taking the crass economic view of this, what do the hotels and the restaurants around those prisons think about this? Because it's people who come
up. The family coming up.
They come up, they stay in the hotels, they eat in the restaurants. And so I don't think that's the right reason to do it, but what are the economics of that? I mean, when I was a young person growing up, we went to a prison on Saturdays and Sundays.
The calls are still coming in.
The
calls are still coming in.
And these family visits were critical. One of the things that we did was we were there in case somebody who was supposed to get a visitor didn't get the visitor, so we would then visit with that person.
Wow.
And, my folks were kind of fascinating.
That's great.
And these visits are critical, and it's inhumane. It's short-sighted.
I just want to remind people we're desperately trying to get to the goal here. We need your money. We need your help. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262, extension 0. Let's go back to the letters, Alan. We've got 10 more minutes to wrap this up.
You are so articulate about this, Joe, but I have to say I'm for ending the fun drive today.
Yes. Let's do it.
We can do this.
Let's do it.
Claude says, made my contribution today and wish I could do more. Thank you, folks, for the roundtable. I watch it every day on my iPad. That's great. Oh, and how do you do that? You go to WAMC.org and says, tells you how to do that.
WAMC.org. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Okay. And Lee says, after hearing a couple of words in President Obama's first inaugural address, I was compelled for the first and only time in my life to buy and proudly fly an American flag. These words were, and non-believers, at length, I had to take my flag down once it was clear that I really wasn't likely to hear these words again. On the contrary, virtually every oath for federal office and for becoming a citizen still ends with the phrase, so help me God. The Hill reports, the president is expected, to sign a pair of executive orders targeting rules imposed on financial sector Friday, according to the senior White House officials. And one of these orders takes square aim at the fiduciary duty rule, written by the Labor Department, finalized after years of efforts in June. That rule establishes significantly stricter standards on investment advisors for retirement plans and has been fiercely opposed by the financial industry. Good health is still good health is true wealth.
NPR had a great story on this last night, a detailed story. It's a really, they might not be able to overturn that one, but it's a really important story.
And Mark says, wake up, please. Would you rather have no guns in schools so some mentally ill person can come into what they know is a gun-free zone, or allow responsible people to have guns in school to save lives and probably prevent more of this kind of killing field, which has become all too common, using your misguided thinking? Okay, I'm not going to comment on that. It just makes me angry.
Guns do not belong in schools. I will comment on it.
Michael says, Trump's executive order rolling back the investor protection in investment houses is his first shot against the small people who voted for him.
Well, the FHA rule probably, but yes, indeed, he's correct about that.
Can I interrupt?
Sure, of course.
Okay, we made our goal. So congratulations to everybody. But to Alan's point, so I just want to set the work here. So we made the 633. We're actually almost $5,000 over that at this point, and the money's still coming in as it should.
All of that money is going to go into
the first day of the fund drive.
First day of the fund drive.
So it goes into the lockbox.
So if I'm listening to you, so that's $500,000 minus the $10,000 from the Janey Fund.
$490,000.
Thank you, Janey Fund.
Yes.
And another $5,000 over, which is
$485,000 to go now.
It's unbelievable. And we could have a one-day fund drive.
Yes, and so $485,000 to go right now. But as to Alan said a moment ago, we can do it. I mean, we can do it today. So whatever you can do, WAMC.org, all of the deals that we had before, by the way, the money that was going into the First Amendment Fund will now go into the First Amendment Fund. So that we made that 133 that's going to go in the First Amendment Fund. The rest of the money now is for the operation of the radio station, the money that we need to live.
Yes, and we're doing extraordinarily well, folks. There have been so many wonderful people making pledges now. Just let's get through this fund drive.
And by the way, whatever money you give is helping the First Amendment and helping and supporting this radio station and what it does. So we made that goal, but the importance is to keep the radio station alive. So whatever you can do, WAMC.org. We have the we made the challenge. We're gonna have a new we'll have a new thermometer up pretty soon to tell you how much we have to go in the entire fund drive. But thank you so much for making the goal. I don't think any of us thought that that was. We wondered if we were stretching it a little bit, but the people came through and record
33?
Time.
33.
Does that money that you raised for the First Amendment, does that cover your costs if the feds pull out of funding?
Yes.
One-third of it,
yes,
right?
One-third of it. So if we do this every time, then we will be...
Every fund drive, you'll
it's
try
$400,000, mm-hmm. So it's 133 for each drive.
33.
So that's fantastic.
It is amazing. So it really is.
Yeah. We can hear more letters now going forward with the roundtable.
By the way, I can hardly hold the number of letters.
I know, I've never seen a pile.
So we'll go for that, and here we go.
We're going more?
Let's do 5 minutes of letters.
Okay.
And
dear
just
panel,
a reminder to keep going on the log.
Dear panel, says Nancy, love listening to your discussions every morning. Thank you, Rosemary, for bringing up the Russian interference in the election. Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to edit some of these so we can get more. Okay, Sean says, can your fundraising success this morning's program allow you to take one more look at the strategy for your three fundraising drives generally? By that, I mean, how about mixing fundraising with your usual daily programming? Okay, that ain't going to work. We've been doing this a long time, folks. Trust me. I've been there. I know. Okay, that's the way we do it. Hey, guys, I just purchased my WNC First Amendment T-shirt and mug. That's a premium. Purchase is a dirty word around here. And I cannot wait to drink coffee every morning out of the mug while I wear the shirt. Of course, I will be doing so while listening to your program. Like many other listeners have stated, you truly keep me sane right now, and I could not withstand the madness without you. Thank you very, very much. And that's from Martin.
Keep writing.
Nice letter.
And Brian says, thank you for your honest support of free speech. However, I have to disagree with Alan, says that WMC does not support any particular candidate. In fact, that's one of the most humorous things that Alan ever said. Keep up the good work. On the contrary, Brian, I may say it. I may say I have a view of it. But this station does not officially endorse anyone. So take it and then write your letter of apology, and maybe I'll be a little less angry. Okay, and so David says, Alan claims we do not endorse anyone tuning in during the campaign. It was abundantly clear which candidates you vastly preferred an endorsement by any other name. David from Monterey. No, David, that ain't the way it works. An endorsement is when the Berkshire Eagle puts in an editorial and says, our view. We have no our view.
I believe we were pretty clear to say this is my view.
Right.
I definitely did not endorse Donald Trump, but I'm not WAMC.
You are not, nor am I. Believe it or not, I am not. I am just, that's why we make it clear who the political commentator, I'm a of many political commentators. I also happen to be the president, of the company. But, okay, so Evelyn says, I am one of John Faso's constituents and I am appalled at his recent votes. Okay. Rather than standing up for Americans' health and safety, for sane environment and gun safety regulations, supporting the corporate interests of the fossil fuel industry, the NRA, and gun manufacturers, we need Republican heroes.
Time to a reminder to everybody, if you have a view, write to your congressperson and tell them your view.
Ann says, on February 1st, I was very sad to read that Liberty University Reverend Falwell Jr. had been asked to head President Trump's higher education task force.
Can't wait to get his ideas.
Ree, says Debbie, originalist justice on Supreme Court. Here's my take on original Second Amendment. Everyone is entitled to own one 4-foot-long end-loading musket that fires one hand-cast lead bullet at a time. After being loaded with loose gunpowder, don't get it wet, or else admit the world has changed in 1790. All right.
Thank you for your letter.
James says, typically, liberals express their dismay by saying, that's frightening, or frankly, I'm scared. No wonder they call us snowflakes. Instead, the comment should be, that's a bad idea because... All right.
Well, I've heard some Republicans this weekend talking about how they were Trump supporters, but how frightened they were. And I
really?
Found that fascinating. Yeah, yeah. I was in a conversation in a grocery store, actually.
I have not. And, I've only
were all the
heard
best conversation
from people
segments.
Saying, this is yeah. great. Finally, at last.
No, I'm actually, so I'm actually with Therese on this. I have heard from many traditional, dare I say it, college-educated Republicans and people who really have the interest of the country at heart. I think there's going to be a telling on this.
I think there's a line that's gotten crossed quickly, more quickly than people expected.
Eric says megachurches raising millions to back political candidates tax-free. Bad idea. From Eric.
They're already doing it.
Okay, I want to we're done for today, and we'll be done until the fun drive is over. And if you keep it up, we don't even have to be done, and we can be back on Monday morning.
Wouldn't that be great if we could just say, surprise, we're here, it's all over.
I want to let's celebrate a little bit. First of all, we made the goal. $133,000 goes into the First Amendment Fund, so we celebrate that, number one. Number two, we celebrate the fact that we made the $10,000 challenge from the Janie Fund. We celebrate that.
That goes right off the top of the fun drive,
that's
starting.
Right. Yeah. So
you,
$490. We should also mention that in this morning, since we started at actually came on the air at 9:12 this morning, we've made over $32,000.
Whoa!
So we'll celebrate that as well.
Now we can do $470,000 and not have to be here on Monday.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I'm sleeping in late, so don't call. I'm not answering the phone Monday.
No, all right.
But
Tuesday, you guys be ready.
Okay.
Because we may need you. Okay, so help us out, WAMC.org. Thank you for everything that you've done. Keep going. Let's do it. First Amendment is so important, as is this radio station, as you know. WAMC.org. We will be back with a panel as soon as you allow us to be, and do what you can do, and we'll be back as soon as we can. We'll continue with this program right after this.